There was a red back on the toilet seat when I was there last night. I did not see it in the dark, but I sure did feel its bite. That goes a song which was popular, I suppose, in the 50s and 60s, and with the advent of AC/DC and a whole lot of other Little River Band and a whole lot of other, and the Bee Gees and a whole lot of other Australian bands. That song's been lost, and also our sort of knowledge of our beloved redback spider has gone. Of course, I wouldn't be talking about a spider unless it was particularly venomous, but redbacks have become synonymous with Australia, and even our little local soccer team are called the Redbacks, and they have various pictures of redbacks, and I suppose you get used to where they'll appear, or you look at a web and you'll say that's interesting, or even just touching a web you can feel how tense it is, you can actually see what's going on about it. Obviously, we want to talk a little about the molecular biology going on. I won't go too deep into how redbacks operate. I've had a bit of a tour of the Novichok and neurotoxin and how it operates on chlorines, I can't pronounce it properly, but they're a basic neurotransmitter at the heart of it all, and I've done a talk on molecular physics of that particular molecule. It's a small enough molecule that you can actually talk about it and put it together, and it's an ester. It's very simple. Well, this will talk a bit more about the redback spider. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this one, I'm sort of following up, you know, basic themes. I've looked at the blue-ringed octopus, and I should mention the blue-ringed octopus, I think, has a sperm sac in one of its tentacles, and that's how they mate and reproduce. I can sort of definitely remember that in the old days, people discussing, sort of analysing this and doing various experiments to see what's going on. The blue-ringed octopus is a little octopus with toxic saliva that can bite and hurt you. The redback is another species. It used to be a lot more feared because it's a nocturnal spider, and people used to go out at night to little outhouses, and the outhouses would be wooden, airy, and they would be out in the environment with wind blowing through them to air them out to get rid of the smell and the heat of the day. So you have spiders about the place. So nowadays, people generally, if they leave some pool equipment out, or give people play equipment which involves tubes or anything like that where the spiders can hide in, you have to check them up, and more often than not, I will pick up a piece of plastic pipe I've given the kids to play with. I won't explain quite how that goes with, but you look it up and you can look down and you can see the spiders. You sort of generally get to know where they are, or they're underneath the deck. You can see a classic feature of them. Let's discuss the redback. Now, the redback I suppose the interesting thing for me is I've looked at spiders, and I had read a time that the redback spider is actually the American black widow spider, and there's nothing to be famously Australian about it. So it's taken, and I took that on. I read the article. Well, a new piece of information, any sort of degrading information that you take on instantly, you say, oh, I thought it was a special spider, but it is indeed a special spider. There's a family group in each continent on Earth, except Antarctica, has its own version of the black widow spider. So we're a version of the black widow spider, and all the spiders have characteristically a black, a larger female, and red points. Features on it. I think the American ones have their red spots underneath. Ours have a red hourglass shape on the back of its body. African ones have different red colourings in, and so your different ones will generally do the same thing, have different characteristics, and the Australian one is particularly widespread spider, and we've exported little colonies to Japan, England, other places like this have gone on Australian products. I think similarly, we've received various pests in the wood from different crates of things that we've imported. We're a bit wiser to it now. I really have to scratch my head to think of the various things. So the spider, let's talk about its silk. It's a tangle web spider. There's different versions of spiders. There's the ancient version of spiders, which are the ground hunting spiders. They need to be close to water because they can't conserve water as much. Then you've got the dry spiders, which can live up in the trees. They have the orb web spinning spiders, and then you've got spiders which can't spin a recognisable web, and that would be the Dahi long legs, which is a very fascinating spider to go. And I suppose one of the things that I observe, many people say, oh, I didn't see it. When you disturb a daddy long-legged spider, I think they're called daddy long-legged spider, they've got a very long, flammable, I should tell you, quite easily flammable legs, so you can actually, if you've got a carbon dioxide laser handy, of reasonable power, you can just pointed at the legs, unfortunately. If you want to get rid of them, you can point at the legs and the webs disappear and the legs burst up. But this spider, when it's threatened, oscillates itself. It's got a very tiny body, and so it, rather than run away, it just oscillates back and forth at high speed and literally disappears. It blurs itself, so you can't see. It's quite fascinating to see. Not so to the lumbering redback spider. It's a funnel. It lives in a funnel. There you go. It's not a funnel web spider, but it lives in a little home of funnel. Lives around an area, and it's an ambush spider. And the way it operates is that it's got a series of precision webs between two vertical surfaces, between the top of your log and down a bit. It's got to be enough for something to crawl in. And when it crawls in, there's vertical high tension sticky webs, so you can feel it, and these webs do not break at all. You can feel it, so it's a piece of string, and there's sort of horizontal trip wires for it. And so what happens is that this horizontal web is stuck via multiple wires at the base, and so when you walk in, you can break the base wire, and the top wire lifts up the hapless prey. And rather than walk around, because there's no web to walk around, the female or male walks up and squirts a bit of silk goo on it, and the goo works its way into the insect joints and freezes it, and then the redback goes up and injects it, a neurotoxin, which I want to talk about, into it several times. And so too it happens with humans. I know people who work, and they claim to be immune eventually. So this is folklore. This is not official medical stuff. This is just from talking to people that they're working with lumber, and in general they occasionally get bitten. The first time they get bitten, it's pretty tough. They claim to be immune to it, so I don't know whether that's true. But now we've got an anti-venom for it. I don't know whether it's how the anti-venom is produced. It's not, I don't think we milk as we do in Australia. We run around catching a funneled spiders and sending them off to spider farms to be milked for their venom to make anti-venom. This is for a most venomous spider called the funneled spider. That's a bit of a character spider. We're talking about the redback spider. So the redback spider, we must talk about its black widow aspect. So the male spiders have additional feeler front legs, which have two sperm sacs in it, and there's equivalent on the female tail to receptors for it. And so the male spider, which is much smaller, and I don't think is venomous because it's so small, similar to the daddy long-legged spider, runs after it and actually... it can actually go into the female at the back and give it, that's what I'm going to use the term now, to give its sperm to make the new generation of spiders. And as it's mating, it's a sort of a touch-and-go thing, it then does a somersault over the top of it, from the back over the top, and presents its body to be eaten or mauled by the female spider. And there's a whole series of research papers saying why this is a good idea, and that's why observation of this feature in America is called a black widow spider. So the it's a widow spider because it's eaten dad, taken dad for lunch. So that's a big emphasis. In Australia we call it a redback spider because so you can easily identify it. And of course it's a bit easier to identify in Australia because you can see the red's on the back of the abdomen of the spider. The spider has two parts, the abdomen, which has got a spinneret and other organs, air breathing organs. I think they're called books because of their shape inside them. So there's pores, spiracles, little holes. And then on its head section, it's got its eight legs, its palpates. I can't pronounce that properly, with its for feeling and for sperm, for mating. And then a little head, raised up head section with a series of eyes. It can be eight eyes and other light sensitive aspects to it, and its fangs, and there's different shapes of fangs depending on where the spider's going to operate. So the fangs can be closed vertically, or I can't remember. There's heaps and heaps of different spiders, but I can tell you that the funnel web, you can actually see occasionally there's spiders with big fangs, and you can see them going around the place. That's the funnel web. Spiders have two downward pointing fangs. Just recently saw a big huntsman spider around the place, and I thought the spiders had pincer fangs, which are horizontal, but sort of can remember seeing this spider with horizontal with vertical fangs. An important thing. So this actually, the male gets eaten for lunch, and then the babies emerge. And look, there are other spiders, quite amazing spiders, which walk around, and they have their back is alive. It's all moving. You look at it, and they've got all the baby spiders on their back, and walking around. It really depends whether spiders are range hunting spiders. So the little funnel webs, and there's lots, besides the big Sydney funnel web, which is the one you have to worry about, there's lots of fairly innocuous spiders. And of course there's spider wars. So if you have daddy long legs and the black funnel web spiders, the black house spiders up around the place here, they will hunt your redback spiders. And of course, if you know roughly where the redback spiders are, I suppose it's not much. I'm sitting on the deck at the moment, and I sort of would know. I could perhaps walk over now and pick you up a few spiders. But the daddy longleg spider is really interesting spider to actually watch it hunt. Because its long legs are such that the other spiders can't work out what to do, because it's quite small, and it's quite amazing to see. So these spiders hunt the redbacks, and the redbacks hunt the funnel webs, and I don't know, funnel webs, this is just from experience, have general nests. So we used to have a nest of the good old Sydney funnel web spiders back behind, in the back of our garden, but it's not there anymore. So there used to be a fair number of funnel webs about the place. This is the proper funnel webs with the larger males going about the place. Okay, so the toxin, which is the funnel web toxin, because the novichok stops the alpha kaolin kaolide A's. That's an enzyme which knocks out the neurotoxin when it's produced. So you produce the neurotoxin, so the neurotransmitter, and you want to get rid of that neurotransmitter. So the novichok hits it off. So you've got a problem of if you've got too much of this neurotransmitter. And again, there's a lack of knowledge about this neurotransmitter. Yes, it's an ester, but there's basic school-grade tech chemistry having a bit of difficulty dealing with the kaolide. Look, this is one of the things. I don't get a chance to speak with people. It's really an unknown chemical because it's just outside the ability to explain with simple chemistry. So the novichok knocks out the removal, the waste removal place, the latrotoxin is from the redback spider, and it operates basically making the synapse more porous. And so what happens is there's these little chemicals, and again it's good to see this off. It quickly gets too complicated to know, but these little chemicals they're basic four component chemicals, but they're fairly big complex chemicals like hemoglobin. They go in and they go to your neurotransmitters and your synapses and open them up, and your synapses just start to open up and produce open them up, and through the pores go the various ions and kaolide. I can't pronounce it. I'm really sorry about that. Hopefully I'll chat to people after this in a while. And so that's how the redback toxin works, and it's a fairly similar toxin amongst all the species. And I suppose the interesting aspect of this is the following through, just the gradual picking up a piece of molecular physics knowledge, getting your ability to understand enzymes, how they operate and promote, getting a bit of ability to understand nerve structures, and stitching it all together, and your interest in spiders, just being able to stitch it all together, and the flow, ebb and flow of information. So I'm sure the information I have is not all perfect, but and I'm very much aware that the information I've had in the past was imperfect. So I had, I think it was a spider book that I was reading that just made a fairly blanket announcement that indeed the Australian redback was misidentified or falsely claimed US Black Widow, but indeed they're different species in the same family, i.e. if you've got a redback and a Black Widow spider together, I think they just eat each other, or one would eat the other, rather than propagation, which is the definition of species. So this is Peter Hill Explains, and I hope that's been useful, or expanded your knowledge of these spiders. And in the meantime, keep on doing science. Thanks for listening.